Welcome in, listeners, to another episode of the Busby Babe podcast. I'm your host, Colin Dams, joined once again by Nathan Heinschel, Matt Barnes, and Polly Questel. What is up, boys?
What's up?
Well, there's nothing above United than the table.
Yeah, the view's nice up here.
True.
Yet again, Manchester United are top of the league. So we didn't record, obviously, after the Liverpool game, which ended 0-0 on Sunday. But we are meeting up now post-game after beating Fulham 2-1 at Craven Cottage. And kind of my takeaway from both of these games, just to start this conversation off, is it's not exactly as dominant as maybe folks would want from Manchester United in a potential title race or building that sort of momentum.
But we take that.
We
take those.
I mean, yeah, we got, you know, a win once again through sort of the individual will of one of our key players today. And we put in a really good display against the Liverpool team that are sort of struggling right now, but, you know, are fully healthy on offense and never really looked threatening.
Yeah, I mean, January is a tough month to begin with. You know, you come off the festive period where it grinds you and it destroys you, and you don't get it. You know, you don't get a recovery time. So that's a lingering. And you're not really, and you know, the weather sucks, so it's tough. And United haven't, you know, they'd scored what, I think one goal from open play since New Year's Day. So they, you know, this is the part of the season where you don't go out and win 4-0, you grind out results. And Craven Cottage is a ground that has not been kind to us. You know, we won pretty handily there the last time we went there. And sometimes, but even back under Sir Alex Ferguson, sometimes we went there and we won handily. Sometimes we went there and we looked like a hapless team. I, you know, like 2009, went to the Champions League final. We won the league. Scholes and Rooney, I think, both got sent off in that game, as we never looked in that game to begin with at Craven Cottage. So, yeah, you know, this is. If you want to be in a title race, this is the kind of result you need, is just grind it out when you have to. And that's what they did.
100%. 100%. And I think that goes for all the games that we haven't won in the last, you know, 2 to 3 years. The games that we, you know, I mean, I do think that we kind of could have won the Liverpool game, but I mean, I'm happy with a point at that point. And to back up what Polly said, I mean, to win games like these is what, you know, it's what it takes to win titles, you know? Like, I don't know if we're there yet, you know? I hope so. You know, I mean, we're there right now, but, I mean, that's what we got to do to win. I mean, yep. Can we do it forward? Could go moving forward, so.
And Matt, that's something that, you know, ever since we started the pod in the 17-18 season, that was one of our biggest complaints. It seemed like almost every week.
Yeah, dude.
These were the kind of results that used to kill us. And now, you know, since Christmas, really with the Wolves game, the Aston Villa game, and now this Fulham game, it seems like this is a United team built different, just mentality-wise, because they're able to find a way to win those games.
Yeah, and when they came back to the studio after the game, Rebecca Lowe was saying, you know, it's weird how United went 1-0 down in this, and now when they go 1-0 down, even like the most pessimistic of United fans, you know, the feeling is we're going to win this. Oh, we're 1-0 down? Like, all right, fine. It's early. It's the first time. We got plenty of time.
While.
We're going to win this. And I felt like, you know, after the first 15 minutes, I felt like I was watching the Sheffield match again. I was like, we conceded the goal off a bad mistake. It took us 10 minutes to settle down and get into this game. But now it was like, okay, now, you know, we have 75 minutes to go and score 2 goals. And it just felt like it didn't feel like they were coming. It felt like a cross between they're coming, but also like we're going to need to work here. Like, it wasn't like, how are we not scoring because we weren't getting a lot of shots. It was they were packing the middle. But you still just thought, like, we'll figure it out. And we'll find a way to put 2 goals in and win this game.
Nathan, as a founding member of the Tank the Cup Society, What was your feeling about the sort of switched up lineup today? Because obviously the Pogba Fred midfield is something that us on this podcast have wanted to see for a little while, but a different front three than we're used to as well was put out by Solskjaer.
Yeah, I liked everything that I saw today as far as the lineup was concerned. You know, Lindelof played really well over the weekend. Bailly's been playing well over the last month. So I guess being able to interchange your center backs is always a nice thing. You know, you always want to see that stay probably a little bit more constant. But, I mean, if we can rely on both of them, I don't know, maybe we even see a Bailly Lindelof at some point because Lord knows McGuire plays a lot of minutes. The front three was nice to see, too, because, you know, Cavani hasn't had a sustained stretch of games ever since he signed. It's either been, you know, he gets nicked up, he gets suspended for saying something potentially racist, depending on what side of the world you're on. And then he's been doing some moments where he comes off the bench and he puts in some solid minutes. So seeing him play from the start was nice. Seeing him score a goal was even better because, you know, I'd like to see, as we start to try and sustain whatever run of form that we're going to be on, I think Cavani's going to be a big part of it because he's proving to be maybe our most consistent goal scorer up top as we kind of still wait for Martial to really kick it into gear. But as far as switching it up, I think that's what we expect to see from Solskjaer, and it ended in a win. And it's one of those things that it's all positive at the very end of the day when you look at it. Like, United right now, if you look at it in the context of, you know, this is supposed to be a multi-year rebuilding process, everything that we're doing is encouraging, if even a little bit ahead of schedule, the fact that we are top of the league at the halfway marker of the season. What's important, though, is if we fall behind in games, we come back in them. And, you know, guys are doing the correct things where they need to be. It doesn't... All the little mistakes that always compounded to us dropping points where we shouldn't or losing a game that we shouldn't, we're not doing that as much this year. And there's just, it seems like there's a lot more consistency in a lot of the areas. We nitpick because we just sit here and think and talk Manchester United all day. But like, if you look at it from a 1,000-foot view, like everything that's happening in this game is a microcosm of how encouraging it is right now in the bigger Ole Gunnar Solskjaer rebuild picture.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing to remember is it is a big Ole Gunnar Solskjaer rebuild period. Especially when you take into account that Liverpool game. This is what I wrote about this week is it just he talks about, you know, his pregame quote was what happens when you get to when you reach the summit of Mount Everest or Mount Kilimanjaro. If you sit down, you'll freeze. This is when we have to keep pushing on. And then he went and played the same team that he played against Chelsea and City again, which is great. It'll compact and defensively you're going to be very solid, but it doesn't give you a lot in attack. And that's, you know, just like the Chelsea game, just like the City game, you have fans out of there being like, oh, we could have won. We could have, you know, we had the better chances, but you only created two chances. And if you only create two chances, you're probably not going to finish one or the other. It wasn't that bold. And you go, well, you know, me as a fan, I sit here and I look at us in the top of the table and I want us to push on. But you have to remember, part of the reason that they're top of the table is because the other teams have stunk this year. They're playing at a 78-point pace. That's not like, hey, we're dictating this. This is like, it's like finishing third on 66 points. We're here because other teams have allowed us to be here. And it's good, you know, the same way that when things have been bad, Ole has been, no, like this is what we're doing and this is what we're building towards and we're going to keep doing what we're doing. He hasn't gotten carried away with, oh, we're at the top of the table. We should change things up, go more aggressive now, push on. And he, you know, maybe he knows if I go Pogba Matic or Pogba Fred against Liverpool, it won't, you know, maybe he knows our best bet here is to play for a draw and hope we could steal it. But we're probably not, you know, if we try to go toe to toe with them, we won't win. and we're not ready to do that. And, you know, we need a right winger and we need a defensive midfielder to do that. And that's a thing that we will do next year. But right now I still need to, you know, play. And if we don't lose, that's a good result. We'll, you know, we're on course to finish in the top four. I do think, though, it was a missed opportunity to go into Anfield and do something. I thought they were a little passive because, you know, what is Anfield? Everybody say, oh, a draw at Anfield, you know, is great. United never do well at Anfield. But, like, what is Anfield? It's a ground that is difficult to play in because it's very tight, it's very compact, and because the fans are sitting right on top of you. It's not just like you feel like the person in row one can reach out and grab your shirt. It's you feel like the person in row three or four can reach out and grab. That's how close they are. And without fans, you know, that's not there. So this was like a good opportunity to change the mentality a bit. If you go in there and you look at this Liverpool team that is weakened, didn't have center backs, and have a go at them and win, you could look at your team and be like, look, what are you afraid of in any other game this year? Like, you were able to go to Anfield and get a win. There's no reason to be afraid in any other game. That's idealistic thinking on my part. You know, if Ollie said we're not ready to do that and, like, let's just stay the force, then that's fine. Because, again, like Nathan said, year two of a rebuild, we're not supposed to be here yet.
It does feel like, though, I mean, especially to win anything this season, but, you know, in the long haul to get to that point, Manchester United are going to have to start making some of these statement, you know, 4-0, 5-0 wins over teams again. And that hasn't really happened yet in the Premier League this season, but I guess I was thinking of this Fulham game and then definitely the Sheffield United game as potential opportunities for them to, you know, put out a statement multi-goal showing.
I agree with that, but again, it's January. This is a part of the season where nobody really typically ever goes through blowouts. And look at the results around the league recently. City beat Crystal Palace 4-0 last week, but other than that, there was City beat Crystal Palace 4-0 and Liverpool beat Crystal Palace, what, 7-0 or 7-1? There's a common denominator there. Everybody else, like, all these games have been devoid of goals. There's been a lot of 0-0s, a lot of 1-0s. It's just that time of the season where everybody's kind of bogged down. And I'm more focused on grind out results than go out there and win 4-0.
Yeah. And I think it is worth noting, too, that there's not really much of a break from now until the end of the season in terms of that. You know, with the international break coming back at some point and then the arrival of European football as well, it seems like, you know, Manchester United's schedule is not really going to let up. Unless, of course, we go with Nathan's route and tank the Europa League, which I'm all for.
Yeah. We won't do that, but yeah, I agree.
Well, we might not have to worry about tanking. I mean, Real Sociedad is not a bad team either. I mean, they could just straight up beat us.
They've been playing like crap recently. Like, ever since the draw, they have very much come back to, like, Real, like, what level you would expect Real Sociedad.
But that's for a different podcast. That's February 18th when we play them. We got some time.
I mean, I kind of like our schedule until, like, March. I mean, Everton's at Old Trafford. Got to play Arsenal at Emirates. I'm not really worried about Chelsea. Huh?
I said that's when you start Lingard, though.
100%. Give him a hat trick. Last day of the January transfer window, and next day he leaves, dude. Hat trick, and everybody's like, oh.
I mean, whatever team is interested in him is no longer interested in him, so.
Yeah, I know.
Getting rid of him, not going to be. We tried talking him up. We tried being like, hey, we're interested in keeping him on after this year, and it still just hasn't worked.
Yeah. At this point, it's kind of sad.
So, what do we think, then, about this weekend game against Liverpool? I'm not really expecting the same level of, you know, investment in terms of, you know, Ollie's side for the starting 11 as maybe we saw last Sunday, but I still really see this as a competition and maybe a game where Ollie would like to get a statement win, and, you know, keep up United's hopes of a trophy in other competitions as well.
I think the last 15 minutes of this most recent game against Liverpool would suggest that we might try and go after something more in the cup game. Cause,
yeah, since it's so close.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool, obviously, like, they held a lot of possession, but for the most part, they provided one or two very, very nervy moments, but United ended up having more shots on goal with the better chances, and there's just something about that Liverpool team that suggests they are there for the taking, especially on the counterattack. You know, Marcus Rashford didn't nearly equal with his onside or offside record that Liverpool had shots in the first half. You know, that could have been an entirely different game.
Yeah.
I think especially at Old Trafford, they might try and go for it, because at the same time too, like, FA Cup or not, beating Liverpool, especially with City breathing down your neck, this is one of those games where you say, hey, you know, we're going for it. This is us. Especially with Liverpool still being in fourth, they're going to be around for a potential time. This is where we get, even if it's just for the psychological effect, if it doesn't add any points to the league table, I think it's potentially still very important to go after it. Yeah. That's why it makes me wish we played like Tranmere or something in the fourth round, so that way it didn't matter and we could rest some guys.
Yeah, I think Ollie's got a great opportunity here, because he, like I said before, he put out the same team three times: Chelsea, City, Liverpool. He did it in the League Cup also, semi-final. But like, that was your litmus test of, all right, like, let's put this team out there where, you know, a draw, you know, it's fine to play. It's fine to get draws in all those games, especially given the circumstances. You know, Chelsea came two games after losing 6-1. The City match came right on the heels of going out in the Champions League to Leipzig. So playing for a draw in those games was fine. The litmus test was in the cup, where, all right, it's either win or lose. And he went out and put out that team again, and again, didn't create anything, didn't win. You've got,
we got scored on by two center backs.
Right. You've got this opportunity now, though, to change something up, especially you look at the end of that Liverpool game and you say, like, we definitely could have a go at them. I this morning spent a lot of time doing research, compiling all the numbers and graphics, because I was about to write a post called "Gimme Pogba Fred for Liverpool." And I was like, well, that's out the window now, because he actually gave me Pogba Fred today, which I didn't expect him to do. But I would do that again, maybe Pogba Matic Fred against Liverpool. This is a team that could be got at. You should rotate some of the players, because Liverpool are going to do the same. Jurgen Klopp has always kind of mailed in the domestic cups. I would expect Divock Origi to play. I would expect Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain to play. So you're gonna see a slightly different Liverpool side, but it's a great opportunity to maybe go Pogba Fred and say, can we do this in a bigger game? And you go out there and win with the changes you made, and you say, hey, maybe we can do this in other games now. Maybe it's a new way that we could play, and it can help us with our rotations. And if you don't win, sucks to go out of the cup, but it's a, you know, it's a weird season, and there's a logjam of games, and not having all that extra games could prove beneficial. Well, what you don't want to see is for him to, you know, go with the same, oh, we'll just play Rashford and, you know, Greenwood or Martial up top, Pogba off on the left or the right, McTominay. You don't want to see him do the same thing and lose. Like, that would be really, that's probably the worst outcome that can happen.
Yeah, we talked about this game at the end of the Liverpool preview pod last week, and, you know, not to great extent, but this was a game where, when we were saying, our, you know, if you take a win and a draw in one of those matches, would you do it? And we ended up drawing with Liverpool last Sunday. So, you know, maybe we're due for the win, but it definitely seems like this team might need that sort of momentum boost pretty soon, with how thick and fast the schedule's coming up.
Man, looking at the schedule, it'll be nice, because if you get that boon from beating Liverpool at home, you're right back on Wednesday hosting Sheffield. But then after that, you've got a three-game stretch that, I mean, I don't think it's going to technically be easy. I mean, you got to go to the Emirates to play Arsenal on the 30th. Then you're hosting Southampton, who's a top 10 team, on the 2nd. And then you're hosting Everton on the 8th, who are relatively resurgent. I mean, those aren't going to be mail-in games either. So there's still some work to be done in the league. And so if we want to sustain the same kind of run that Manchester City is currently enjoying, because they are, you know, like a bat out of hell right now, that go for W's.
And Liverpool will definitely rotate their squad because they've got us on Sunday. Then they play Tottenham on Thursday, followed by a trip to West Ham on Sunday. Those are difficult games. So Klopp's going to look for minutes where he can get them. And if he doesn't, then, well, that's just good for us in terms of the league.
And equally important, you know, go for the win on Sunday because fuck Liverpool.
Yeah. No, I mean, if it, for any other reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only reason. Yeah.
If we're not trying to beat, you know, Liverpool in any situation, then like, what are we doing? You know, what's the point of this whole charade?
Yeah.
So, final question for you guys going into this Liverpool game in the FA Cup. Do we see this as a potential opportunity to bring in Donny van de Beek into the lineup again, or do you think that he will continue his stay on the bench, as has been the case the last few games where we thought we might see him?
You know, I don't know. Like, it depends on what. Because I think it is a perfect opportunity. It's just Ollie's kind of weird with him. I hope he does, but there's really, it's hard to just say if he will or won't.
He hasn't played well in the opportunities he's gotten, but like, yeah, it's the right opportunity for him. You need to rest Bruno. I mean, any of us, I don't care what the data says. Any of us can look at him, and I'm a big data guy. Any of us can look at him and be like, hey, this guy's tired and he could do with a break. So even if you play Donny van de Beek for 60 minutes and then Bruno comes on with 30 minutes to go in a game where you're chasing a goal or it's level, like Bruno coming in and running at tired legs that have also just played for an hour, like, is much better than Bruno playing from the off and just, you know, trying to do that. Any rest you can get him is vital. So yeah, and it's a good way to challenge van de Beek. I'm going to give you this opportunity against a good team. It's not just Watford or Luton Town or something. And I'm not going to play you with Lingard and God only knows who else, but like, you're going to get to play with, you know, the rest of the first team guys, and I'm going to play you in your best position. And maybe they'll adapt a little bit towards you, but like, you need him to play on the front foot too. I mean, this is a guy who has taken 5 shots this year. Players who shoot more than him per 90 minutes, Fred, Harry Maguire, Luke Shaw, I believe. He's barely shot more than Nemanja Matic. Like, come on, you're an attacking midfielder. You should be looking for goals.
Nathan?
I just want to see Paul Pogba score more goals like he did against Paul.
Right?
Oh, right? My God. I felt right. Like a little kid again watching that. That was what, you know, it just feels, it's just different when Paul hits shots like that. And it's just so great to watch. And so, Paul, just please continue to do that for as long as you're going to be on Manchester United, whether that's, you know, for another 5 months, if it's going to be longer. Keep doing that, and if somebody could teach Harry Maguire how to head a ball straight as opposed to wherever the hell he heads it, that'd be
super. He did hit that straight today. So the weird thing is that he literally was trying to head it in that direction. Like, he must have just forgotten.
I think his head was sweaty.
But like,
the guy's head was sweaty, dude.
When you watch that thing from the other angle, he headed that. Like, it was perfect execution. It was he headed that, like, the way he moved his head, that ball went exactly where he wanted it to go. So it was like, why were you heading it that way when the goal's right in front of you? Like, did he think he was on the near post and he was trying to go back post, like, and didn't realize he was smack in the middle, like, on the penalty spot? It was weird because he put that ball exactly where he was trying to put it.
Well, and our fearless leader, Brent Maxman, who will go on the Shirtless Plantain show, but not our own, had even tweeted something about that too, wondering if like Maguire almost has sight issues or something. It gave me the opportunity to make a reference to Major League where, you know, Wild Thing couldn't pitch well until he got glasses, and it just instantly fixed his ability to throw, you know, fastball. So it's like, do we need to get McGuire some goggles?
Oh, man.
His goggles is are Eric Bailly, dude.
Yeah.
Goggles McGuire would be the ultimate Premier League Man United aesthetic.
I think it would be amazing.
So funny. Yeah. Oh, man. But, dude, I hope he plays Donnie.
Yeah.
I agree. We got to rest Bruno.
I think you can still play, you know, him with one of Bruno or Pogba. I mean, he said
you
earlier
you have
this
to
week.
Play him, well, you have to play him up front. Like, you have to play him as the 10. He's not going to do well in a pivot here. But also, like, don't play the dumb 4-4-2 again.
So, Pogtic behind Donny van de Beek.
Sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'd take it.
Yeah. It makes me think, too, with Rashford coming off the bench in this one, he probably starts.
Yeah.
And I would think we might have the opportunity to see Cavani play a full game against Liverpool as well. So, you know, I'd be curious to see what that looks like, especially if you've got Matic and Pogba, who are two, you know, pretty competent midfielders. They could get the ball up to Cavani. I don't know, maybe Van de Beek links up with him perfectly, and we just don't know yet because we haven't really seen him play together.
I wouldn't be shocked to see Cavani start, but I know he scored a goal today. I think he looks better when he comes off the bench.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it suits him in the long run for sure.
You look at today, like today was weird because, you know, Greenwood and Martial are two players that like to get to the middle. They're not wingers. So they're,
I do like his work rate, dude.
Yeah, his work rate's fantastic. Work rate is fantastic, but the link-up play just isn't there. Mm-hmm. His movement's fantastic, and his movement, his predatory instincts, and that's how he scored the equalizer. But, like, Greenwood and Martial aren't – they're two guys that like to get to the middle. I thought it was weird to play the three of them today, like, at Fulham where it's going to be – where they're going to pack the middle. But Martial and Greenwood did a very good job of keeping their width. But that's not where Martial and Greenwood are going to be at their best. And then, you know, you constantly saw the ball, especially in the second half, the ball coming out wide to Greenwood and then Juan Bissaka making those underlapping runs. And it's like, okay, so like neither one of you are where you want them to be right now. On the left-hand side, Martial looked like he had never played with Shaw before, which was odd. So, yeah, it's just like we don't have wingers who could provide the service to Cavani that like would make Cavani thrive. So I just think that at the moment, like, Martial also isn't playing poorly. He just can't finish. He's doing all the other things really well.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're better right now with Martial up top. He just has to get his scoring boots and Cavani coming off the bench. But I do think he will probably play from the get-go.
I think normally he would do that, but I think just him wanting to have Rashford for Sunday kind of factored in. So I kind of think he just chucked some guys on that he wanted to play. Like, you know, Mason hadn't
and Rashford played
so
too.
Well. Yeah, he did. And so, I mean, I think he was just kind of, you know, doing what he could do. I mean, we got the 3 points today, so I'll take it. But if I see it again for some reason, then I'll be like, I don't know, Ollie. But I don't know. Today I'm going to say it was just did what needed to be done, and we did. So.
Also, if Jurgen Klopp would be so kind as to not play Mohamed Salah this upcoming weekend.
I mean, Salah is the least of our issues.
Well, I'm just saying, I would like to give Luke Shaw rest.
Yeah.
And so, 100%. You know, but I do not want Alex Telles on the left side if Mo Salah is going to be there because he will eat our lunch doing that. Although, if we didn't really get to talk about it because we didn't do a podcast, you know, post-Liverpool until now. Luke Shaw and Aaron Wan-Bissaka were immense. Just like...
Yeah.
Luke Shaw was by far man of the match.
Yeah.
I mean, Liverpool were basically playing with 9 guys.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I've been telling you for months now that people have been ridiculously hating on Luke Shaw, and as soon as we signed Alex Telles,
I always liked the kid.
I said when we signed Alex Telles, I was like, I wouldn't assume he's gonna walk into this 11. Like Luke Shaw's going to keep him out because he's much better than people give him credit for.
And now he's motivated because he's got somebody behind him.
Exactly.
Let's get somebody to back up Bruno properly at all times. Let's get somebody to back up Aaron Wan-Bissaka properly at all times. Oh, my God. Look at what Luke Shaw has done with competition. Look at what David De Gea has done with competition. Look at what Lindelof did with competition. He was incredible in, against Liverpool because Eric Bailly took his spot for like 5 weeks.
Yeah.
The Busby Babe Twitter account tweeting the I'm thinking I'm back John Wick video for David De Gea and had me thinking that Nathan had somehow gotten the Twitter password. So
nope, you guys won't
get it. I'm thinking I'm back.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's all right. I only run another account for my entire career.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that about does it for us on this episode. We'll be back next week discussing hopefully a dub over the hated Liverpool and previewing a trip to the Emirates against Arsenal. So, yeah. Thanks for listening. I've been Colin.
Let's get these dubs, baby.
Let's do it, dude.
Beat Liverpool.
Yeah.